Hello, church. I hope you can hear me. Right, the reading is today, it's from John 6, chapter 6, and it's from 16 to verse 21. Okay. Jesus walks on the water. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. That's the end of our reading.
Great, thank you, Gwen. So if you've got a Bible, do keep your finger in the page for John chapter 6. And as we begin, let's have a word of prayer together. So let's just pray. Father God, we want to thank you so much that you are a God who speaks to us. You are a God who speaks to us in many different ways. You speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit and the voice of God's Holy Spirit. But you also speak to us powerfully through the Word of God, the Bible. And so, Lord, we ask and pray that you would soften our hearts to hear and understand all that you want to speak to us today through this amazing encounter the disciples had with Jesus when they saw Jesus walking on the water on the Sea of Galilee. So, Lord, would you come and speak to our hearts? Would you come and soften our hearts? Would you open our eyes, unblock our ears, that we might hear and see all that you want to say to us today? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. And what I'd like to do is just begin by just sharing a true story. It happened quite a number of years ago. Gwen and I, we were missionaries with Youth on a Mission, and we were living in Glasgow, and we were living in a little house in Brigton, or as Glaswegians would say, Brigton. Brigton, yeah, yeah. And you know, it was close to River Clyde, and it was about midnight, and I'd just gone to bed. It was the window was open, it's quite warm, and as I was just about dropping off to sleep, I just heard this voice in the distance, and I couldn't work out what it was saying, but just heard this repeated call. I didn't think anything about it, went just trying to get to sleep, and I kept hearing this voice, and I said to Gwen, "What is it?" So I got up, I went outside, I went down towards the river, crossed over the bridge, and I could hear a voice. Someone was in the water, and they're shouting, "Help! Help! Help!" And I sort of scrambled down the side of the bank by the river there. It's quite steep. So the guy was in the river, and I said, "Come over this way." Come, and he sort of came towards me. But it was steep. I was going to fall in as well. I tried to reach him, couldn't quite get hold of him. And so I phoned the police, got some help, and then we formed like a linked arms, formed a human chain, and then we were able to grab hold of this guy and actually pull him out of the River Clyde. And he'd fallen in and made a complete recovery, and he was okay. And you might think, "Matthew, why are you telling me about a guy you fell into a river?" And I'll tell you why, because it introduces to us this morning the fifth miracle, the fifth more than a miracle, where Jesus has an encounter with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. Now, we've read it in John's Gospel, but actually, if you want to flick across into Matthew's Gospel and Mark's Gospel, you'll see that a different account of slightly different account of exactly the same incident when Jesus is walking on the water. And in the one in Matthew's, we see Peter trying to walk on the water towards Jesus, and he doesn't get it right for a while. But that's what we're thinking about, more than a miracle. John writes his gospel, and he writes just 7 signs, 7 miracles that he records, because he wants to point you and me to Jesus. And as we read through this miracle, we're going to see that this miracle points us to Jesus. And actually, it makes us think about, where about is Jesus in our lives? Is he a long way off, or have we invited him right up close? So that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. And a couple of weeks ago, I showed you some signs. A sign is something that points, you know, makes an important point. Here we've got a sign that's pointing us to Jesus. But on here on the screen, a couple of road traffic signs. Here's the first one. I don't think this is a UK. I think that's probably a moose. I don't think we have any moose or mooses or whatever the plural of moose is in the UK. Don't mess with a moose, I think, is a warning in that one. And then maybe this next one. Again, I don't think we have any penguins loose in the UK, but penguins crossing. These are all signs. But here, more than a miracle series we're looking at, seven signs in John's Gospel that point us to Jesus. Let's just make the first point from John chapter 6, verse 19. It says, the disciples saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. And the point I just want to make here is perhaps the most important point I'm going to make this morning. Jesus wants to walk towards you through the tough times. Jesus wants to walk with you through the tough times. Let me just back up a little bit and just picture the scene. If you remember, the previous miracle we thought about 2 weeks ago has only just finished. Jesus fed 5,000, in fact, probably more than 10,000 people on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. The disciples have been there. They've basked in the glory of seeing 10,000 people getting fed on just five small loaves of bread and two fish. And Jesus has made them get into the boat and go on ahead of them because Jesus wants to spend a little bit of time with God alone on the mountain. So he packs them off into the boat. You get in the boat, you go on ahead, I'll see you a bit further, a bit later on. So off they go, and the disciples are getting into the boat. And I don't know about you, but these 12 disciples, they've just witnessed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And I think they'd be saying to themselves, wow, did you see what Jesus did? Just that little boy's lunchbox, 5 loaves, 2 fish, and 10,000 people fed. And, you know, we all ate as much as we wanted as well. You know, we had our fill of fish and bread. And they must have been thinking, wow, it's amazing. Wasn't it incredible? And they were feeling sort of confident. And they're fishermen. They know how to handle a boat on the Sea of Galilee, so they thought. But then an interesting thing happens. The wind starts to pick up. The waves start to get rough. And even these experienced fishermen who know they spent all their life fishing on the Sea of Galilee, they are in trouble. In fact, they're in serious trouble. They've got a real risk that they're not going to make it. They've been in this boat. They've lowered the sail. They've gone to the oars. If they have the sail up, it's going to be too dangerous. They're going to go over. They're going to capsize. They're going to probably die. And so they've lowered the sail. They're just rowing. And a journey that should have taken them about 2 or 3 hours is taking them forever. They're still in the middle of the lake. They've only gone about three miles. And the waves are rough and it's dangerous. And they're high on the mountain of having the bread and a stomach full and 5,000 people fed. That high has suddenly become a low. These guys are in trouble. They're not just a bit of a storm. This is dangerous. They're in peril. And what happens? I'll tell you what happens. Jesus knows exactly where they are. He knows where they are on the lake. He's probably been able to see them from a distance. Well, they haven't got very far. He's seen the storm coming up. I think Jesus probably knew the storm was going to come up. And what does Jesus do to the 12 disciples that are in danger in their little boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in a storm? Jesus walks towards them. And he walks towards them. Amazing. This is an incredible miracle because the sea probably wasn't just completely flat. It was probably a little bit like this at times. And Jesus walks on the water towards the disciples that are in trouble. And let me just ask you, when you're in a storm, storms in life come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Probably most of us, many of us, will be going through some sort of a storm maybe in our life right now. It might be a personal storm. It might be a storm happening to someone else. It might be a storm in the workplace of some sort. It might be a financial storm. It might be a relationship storm. It could be all sorts of storms. But Jesus, what does he do? He walks towards the disciples when they are in the middle of the storm. And let me tell you, these guys know how to handle a boat. There's nothing Jesus can tell them about how the best way is to, you know, deal with the waves. But actually, even they are terrified. They're fearful. They're scared. They think they're competent, but actually they realize they've gone from the high to the low, and they're in the middle of a storm, and actually, you know, possibly their number could be up. And what happens? Jesus comes and walks towards them. Let me tell you, the best thing that you and I can ever do if ever we're going through a storm in life is cry out to Jesus. Ask Jesus to come and walk towards us in our storm. If you're anything like me, when I've gone through storms in life, I try to deal with it like the fishermen were trying to do, the disciples were trying to do, in my own strength. And then a lot too late, I think, I should have asked Jesus in. Not only does Jesus want to walk towards us in our storms, he also wants to ask us to come into the middle of our storms as well. I don't know about you, I'm sure you can think about some storms of life, maybe past, maybe present. I remember one particular storm, quite a number of years ago. My elder sister, she was diagnosed with a real serious illness. She only had a few months to live. That was a big issue, but actually there was a bigger issue. The bigger issue was that, I won't go into all the details, but she had a relationship situation which wasn't good. And do you know what? I felt that I was in the middle of the storm. It was probably harder for her own children than it was for me. But there's my sister going through two different storms. And there was nothing I could do to stop either of the two things that she was going through. And so I felt that I was drawn into that storm just a little bit. And I said to God, I can't do anything. There's nothing I can do to change it. And I can remember spending a day praying and fasting. I thought, I'm going to pray and fast about this storm that I was going through. And I can remember going down, it was somewhere on the south coast, and the weather was quite bad, actually. It was in the winter. And I looked out, I was on a cliff, and I could see the sea. And the sea was pretty rough and choppy. And, do you know, I asked Jesus to come in to my storm that I was going through. I said, Jesus, I can't handle this on my own. I just cannot deal with it. And I felt, as I looked out at this rough, choppy sea, I felt God speak into my life. I felt him breathe some power, empowering of his Holy Spirit. And I, do you know, from that moment on, I knew that Jesus was with me in this storm. And the storm still played out in the way that it did. But from that moment on, when I actually invited Jesus into the middle of my storm, from that moment on, I knew that Jesus was in control. I wasn't in control. I still wasn't in control. But Jesus was in control. And that's a great thing about Jesus. He's always in control of the storms in life that we go through. But how often we don't involve him? How often we try and tough it out ourselves? That's what the disciples were doing. And here we see, you know, Jesus walking towards him in a storm. Jesus so much wants to get involved in your storm. Jesus so much wants to walk towards you in whatever storms you or I might be going through. But we need to invite him. We need to be intentional. We need to ask him. And when he does, the storm will continue to unpack in the way that it does. But Jesus wants to know that he's with you in the storm. There's no storm that is too rough. There's no storm that is too difficult. There's no storm that any of us can ever go through where Jesus is not in control. Jesus is always in control. And this is one of the things that the disciples are going to clock from this particular fifth miracle that they've observed from Jesus. So invite Jesus. If you've got a storm going on at the moment, and I'm sure many of us will have, invite Jesus into the middle, the center of your storm. Next point, and there's a number of things we see from this miracle of Jesus walking on water, is don't have a hard heart towards God. Don't have a hard heart towards God. We've gone back into Mark 6. So if you're following your Bible or if you're taking notes, Matthew 6, verse 52. This is Mark's account of Jesus walking on water. And this is what Mark writes. He says, the disciples were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. So they've seen four miracles. They've seen Jesus healing the sick. They've seen Jesus healing someone at the pool of Bethsaida. They've seen the young man healed. They've seen water turn into wine. They've seen some spectacular miracles. They've seen the bread and the loaves and the fishes. They still, their hearts are hardened towards Jesus. And interestingly, you know, when Jesus approaches them, in one of the accounts, it says they didn't really want to let Jesus come into the boat. They were terrified. In fact, John 6:19 says, the disciples were terrified when they saw Jesus walking on the lake. Do you know, just imagine it. You're in that boat with the disciples, and Jesus is walking towards you on the lake. What's your reaction going to be? Are you going to think, help, it's a ghost? That's what they felt. They were. And do you know, they didn't want Jesus to get into their boat. They wanted Jesus to stay away. Or whatever this ghost-like figure was, they thought, stay away. And sometimes we can do that too. But actually, it says their hearts were hardened. And do you know, one of the things that can stop us from really coming towards Jesus is because maybe it's events in life, maybe it's somebody in the church did something or said something, a pastor wasn't nice to me or whatever it might be. And sometimes our hearts can harden towards Jesus. I know that for the first 21 years of my life, my heart was hardened towards Jesus. I did not want Jesus in my boat. I did not want Jesus in my life. Jesus, you can stay out there, please. I'm going to make my own calls in life. Thank you. I don't want you telling me what I've got to do. I had a hard heart towards God, towards Jesus, just like the disciples did. But the best thing I ever did, eventually my heart did soften. And I realized that actually, Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus is the creator God of the universe. That's what the disciples are going to discover in this miracle. And finally, I had to humble myself, repent, and ask Jesus to come into my boat, to ask Jesus to come into my life, not have that hard heart and keeping Jesus at arm's length any longer. And do you know what? That moment changed my life forever. So don't develop a hard heart. And you know, not just if we're not a Christian yet, we can have a hard heart. Even as Christians, we can have hard hearts sometimes towards God. And it's always good to check our heart and just check that we haven't got a hard heart towards God. Okay, next point. An obvious point, but it's all in the passage. Jesus says, do not fear. Do not fear. John 6, verse 20. Jesus said to the disciples, he's walking on the water of the Lake of Galilee. The disciples are in the boat hiding. Jesus says, it is I. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. Now, I can understand. It must have been a little bit surprising for the disciples to see Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee. And it's easy for us to criticize them. I'm sure I'd have probably been fearful in the boat as well, seeing this Jesus walking on the water. But what does Jesus say to them? Jesus says to them the words, so often when God meets a person, he says to them, don't be afraid, do not fear. And it shows up there. It says, you know, if you look in the Bible, there are well over 365 do not fears, don't be afraid in the Bible. That's one for every day of the year. And one of the things that God repeatedly speaks to people when he has an encounter with them is, do not fear. We don't need to fear Jesus. We don't need to fear God coming into our lives. It is the greatest, best, most beautiful, amazing, life-changing thing any of us can ever do. And Jesus would say to any of us, if there's anyone here, you've never given your life to Jesus, and you think, oh, maybe you're not fearful, maybe hard, whatever. Jesus would say to you today, do not fear. You have nothing to fear. I am the creator God of the universe, and I want to have that friendship, that relationship with you. Now, I don't know what your fears are, what fears you might have, what fears you might struggle with sometimes in life. Fears come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. But do you know what? If you look at statistics, over 80%, in fact, it's probably nearer 90% of the fears that we have never actually happen. We fear for, we're going to have a safe journey home, this, that, and the other. A lot of our fears are imagined. They're not actually as real as we think they are. And yet our fears can become very real. And the devil is a past master at trying to fill us with fear. If Satan can create within us a spirit of fear, he's doing his job. Because Satan is a bully and he wants to push you and me around. And fear is one of those things that he uses more than many others. And if you think of a bully in the playground, often he plays fear. He makes us fearful. Satan wants to make us fearful and wants us to be filled with fear. But Jesus comes in the opposite spirit and he says, do not fear. Do not be afraid. And so what fears maybe do you and I have that maybe we're wrestling with even right at the moment? The disciples had two. They were fearful of Jesus, thinking at first he might be a ghost, and they were also fearful that they were going to drown. You know, maybe those two were like legitimate fears, but what about you and me? What fears perhaps do you and I have that we're going through right at the moment and that Jesus wants to reach in to our lives? Sometimes it can be a fear of death. That's a strong fear. And it's an understandable fear. But do you know what? When Jesus died on the cross, when Jesus shed his blood for us, when Jesus was beaten black and blue for you and I, when Jesus gave up his life for us, he conquered the spirit of fear, the spirit of the fear of death once and for all. The great thing about being a Christian, we don't need to fear death ever, because we know we're going to go and be with Jesus forever. But Satan will try and play with us, with our fears. And it's good to sometimes identify them. In the Word of God, in 1 John 4:18, it says that perfect love, God's perfect love, casts out fear. So any fears, bring them to the foot of the cross. Bring them to Jesus. And Jesus will take our fears away. It's what he does. It's who he is. So, one of the important things, the lessons from, we're learning from the disciples and the storm is to learn that in the storm, it's that God wants to get our attention. If we're going through a storm right now, God is wanting to get our attention. And only Jesus has the authority to calm the storms that you and I might be going through, and to calm you through the storm. So not only can God calm our storms, but he can also calm us through the storm. That's what I experienced with my sister's situation, that particular storm. The storm still raged for a little bit, but actually Jesus calmed me through the storm, and I needed to know that. So that's what Jesus can do, and that's what the disciples learn at first hand. Okay, let's just move on. And we're looking now into Matthew's account of Jesus walking on the water, Matthew chapter 14. And let me just read what it says. Matthew 14, 28 says, Peter says, they've seen Jesus walking on the water. They're a bit scared. And well done to Peter. Peter's the one who pipes up and says, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, said Jesus. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt? Do you know, Peter gets a lot of stick, and he gets a lot of stick because, he sank when he tried to step out on the water and those sorts of things. But let me tell you, Peter is the only one in the boat who's got the guts not just to hide away and cower in the boat like you and I might have done. He's the only one who's got the guts to say, well, if it's Jesus, then Jesus, I'm going to walk towards you on the water. Well done, Peter. And okay, we might criticize him for sinking, but actually he's the only one who got out of the boat and walked towards Jesus. Well done, Peter. And you know, often Jesus wants you and I to get out of our boat and walk towards him. He walks towards us, but Jesus wants us to walk towards him as well. It's a two-way process. It's like the prodigal son, you know, both walking towards each other. That's the best way to meet with God. God walks towards us and we walk towards him. And Peter teaches us that. But interesting, what happens to Peter? Peter, he gets out of the boat, and I don't know what the other 11 disciples are thinking at this point. Wow, Peter, you know, you're crazy, probably. And he starts walking, and Peter, perhaps apart from Jesus, the only other person that has ever also walked on water, because it says that for a while, for a number of steps, Peter walked on the water of the Sea of Galilee. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Pretty amazing. But the wind is still howling. The waves are still sort of choppy. And he's got a little distance. And then he looks, sees the wind. He sees the waves. And we know what happens. You know, he starts to sink. And then Peter shouts out the best three words that any person can ever shout out. Jesus, save me. And as Peter's going down, he's sinking. He's not treading on the top of the water anymore. Jesus reaches out his hand. He catches Peter and says, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And they get back into the boat. Jesus teaches us to walk towards Jesus in our storms. Jesus always wants to walk towards you and me in our storms. But often we don't walk towards him. We need to learn from Peter. We need to walk towards Jesus in our storms as well. And we see an amazing, amazing, you know, occurrence as Peter and Jesus get back into the boat. And we're nearly there, so we're just going to wrap up with this final point. And in a way, it just brings all of the different other points together. Jesus alone can save your life. Again, Matthew 14, verse 28 says, "Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus." Sorry, next, last point. Worship Jesus as God. We've done that. Worship Jesus as God. It says, "And when they climbed out of the boat, into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Jesus, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" The disciples have had four miracles and they've still got hardened hearts. This fifth miracle is what finally causes their hearts to melt towards Jesus. And they actually, the penny drops finally on this one. Why? Because if we think about this miracle, actually it's three miracles for the price of one, this one. Because if you look at it, it is. We've got Jesus walking on the water. Miracle, that's a miracle. The second miracle is, not only does Jesus walk on the water, but it says in here in John's Gospel, when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Immediately, they get into the boat, the storm's gone. The storm is completely gone. The wind stopped blowing, the Sea of Galilee has become calm again. That's a second miracle, even in this one miracle. And then there's a third one. And this, I won't spend a lot of time on this, you can look it up yourself. But actually, let's come back into John 6:21, it says, "And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading." So get this. Jesus has walked on the water, miracle. Jesus has control over the wind and the waves. The whole storm stops on the Sea of Galilee. And miracle three, all in the one miracle of Jesus walking on water, immediately this boat, which is in the middle, getting nowhere in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, is suddenly right by the place where they're heading for, their destination. A bit of supernatural transportation. That'd be a fun way to get home today, wouldn't it? We're sat here in Beck Church, and then suddenly, jump, we're at home. There are three miracles for the price of one in this one miracle Jesus walking on. And it's this miracle that finally the disciples begin to get Jesus. Wow, yeah, we're impressed with the healings. We're impressed with the food deliveries. But this, we realize, and what it is they see in Jesus, they see that Jesus is a God who has control over creation. That Jesus is a God who can actually control the wind and the waves. That Jesus can pass all the natural laws of walking on water. And they realize, yes, Jesus, you're not just a wonderful miracle worker. You are God. And it says in Matthew's gospel here, and they worshipped him, saying, truly you, Jesus, you're the Son of God. Wow. Let me just ask a question for a moment as we come into land now. Where are you and where am I in our journey of faith? Maybe, like me for the first 21 years, you know, you weren't a Christian and you've yet to really welcome Jesus into your life. I can tell you, these 12 disciples, they were tough fishermen types and all those sorts. They get that Jesus is God. I was 21 when I got that Jesus was God. And if you're not yet a Christian, do you know what? Don't keep putting Jesus off. Don't keep walking away from Jesus or keeping your arm's length like I did. Invite Jesus into your life because he alone is the one who can change you forever. And he has a purpose and a plan for your life which would blow your mind if you could see it now. Not just on this earth. He wants to have a personal relationship with you for eternity, forever. God's created us to worship him here on earth and at Beck on a Sunday, but for eternity in heaven. God has a purpose and a plan for every follower of Christ. And he has a purpose and a plan for you. If you'll be willing to confess your sins, to repent, to turn away from going away from God and turning and walking towards God. Jesus' invitation is to all those who ever want to turn to him. And that invitation is there for anyone yet who has to make that decision. Let today be the day that you say, yes, Jesus, I know, I am convinced. I have been convinced, but I've been putting you off. But today is a day. Today is the day where I'm going to decide that I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life. There are others of us here, and actually the thing that maybe God is speaking to us through this passage is about the storms of life. And maybe you're going through a particular storm in your life, and maybe like me with my sister's situation, you know, it seems to be too big. The waves just seem to be too high. The wind seems to just be too strong. Jesus' words to you today are develop faith in God, not fear. Jesus wants you to know that he is in control of your life. He's in control of your present. He's in control of the fiercest storm that might ever be raging. Jesus is in control. That's what the disciples learned that day. And that's what Jesus wants you and I to know, is that Jesus is in control. Any situation seems out of control. Jesus is always in control. And you might have a storm you're going through, and actually you might be thinking, yeah, God, it's a bit too much for me to handle. In a moment, we just have an opportunity for anyone that wants a bit of prayer, someone to pray with them. Maybe you're going through a storm, you want someone just to stand with you and pray God's peace, God's blessing upon you in the storm. They're going to have an opportunity to be able to do that. For some of us, it might be fear, and we're thinking, yeah, fear always is the one that gets me. Fear, I've never quite cracked. That spirit of fear that seems to well up, you know, when I most don't want it to. Jesus is here today. The Holy Spirit is here today. And he wants to cast out fear and fill us with his love, with his joy, with his presence. Jesus has the power to break any spirit of fear that might ever rage over our lives as well. So there are lots of ways we might want to be responding to God today. And I'm just going to invite you to, let's just all close our eyes. And just for a moment, I'm going to invite anybody who would just like to do some business with God. In fact, what I'm going to do, I'm going to suggest we all stand up. Why don't we all just stand up? In a moment, we're going to sing some songs again. But just before we do that, this is the most important point, is responding to God. And it might just be that you want to respond to God, something God's speaking to you today. It might be you're doing business with God on your own. Praise God if that's the case. But very often it's really helpful to have someone just put a hand on our shoulder and just pray for the power of God's Holy Spirit to come upon us when we're going through a storm in life, when we're trying to deal with fears, when maybe there's a situation we're going through, we need someone to stand with us. That's why every service we have prayer ministry. And I'm just going to suggest that while we, in a moment, start to sing a couple of songs, that you just come forward, make your way out to the front here. There's plenty of space here. Have a number of people that would love to pray with you. Just pray for God's blessing to come upon you. Just pray that you will know God in the storm. So make your way to the front here on your right, the front here, if you like prayer. If it's a prayer to pray a prayer of commitment to Jesus, then again, we just love to lead you in a short, simple prayer where you open your life to Jesus. If it's a prayer for God with you in a storm, then come forward. If it's a prayer for fear, whatever it might be, or it might be something completely else, then do come forward and receive prayer. And I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to sing, and we're going to respond to God. Father, I just pray that for any of us that really know that you're speaking to us today, we know our heart's beating inside. We know we're going through a storm and it's a bit too much for us, Lord God. Jesus, I pray right now that you would come and cause your Spirit just to come and touch each person's life going through a storm right now in Jesus' name. Jesus, I pray that any of us standing because we're going through a storm, Lord God, I ask and pray, Jesus, that you would walk towards that person. Right now, Jesus, they would be aware of you walking towards them in their storm. And as you do that, Jesus, would they too walk towards you? And Lord, may there be a beautiful meeting, Lord God, in the storm where you come and take control. So Jesus, I ask and pray now, just come. Come, Holy Spirit, come and touch us. Come and remove all fears, Lord God. Come and walk with us through our storms. Come and draw alongside us, which is what you always want to do. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm just going to invite you just to come up for prayer now. Just any ones of us, just come forward. Come and just get someone to pray with you. Whatever it is you might come with for prayer, just come forward right now. Doesn't matter if there's one or two or if there's 10 or 20 or 50. Just come and receive some prayer now, and the band are going to continue to lead us in some songs of worship as we respond to God in prayer.